Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You
know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. Coming to you live, Rocket Mortgage, Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. Coming up later on in the program, top of the 8 o'clock hour, 5 Pacific, we're going to be joined by Tom Pecora. Quinnipiac associate head coach is going to join us. We'll talk about the field of 68, Duke, Carolina, Virginia, Gonzaga, Michigan State, all the top dogs in the upcoming NCAA tournament as the playing games get going on Tuesday and Wednesday night out in Dayton, Ohio. But we kick it off this hour, Taz, talk a little bit about the NBA and LeBron James, because, I mean, I think the Lakers suffered the ultimate insult where they went to Madison Square Garden and actually lost to James Dolan's Knicks, 124-123, as Mario Hezonja had the block of LeBron James late.
It was unbelievable. I did not see this game. I was watching something else. I saw your tweet, and I'm like, whoa! And I was like, wow!
Playoff mode activated.
Yeah, no, your tweet was great. I mean, it was troll city, but it was funny. It was very funny. I mean, and then I'm like,
the fact that LeBron James got blocked by Mario Hezonja, yeah. to end the game,
he beat up on him. Great,
right?
Too,
Hezonja to end the game.
I know it's funny.
As the Knicks are victorious, I mean, just tells you just how bad of a year has been. For LeBron James and the Lakers, it is absolutely embarrassing. Mario Hezonja, who's been a first-round bust trying to rejuvenate his career, is blocking LeBron James.
And after he did it, his teammates loved him, and he was like shocked he did it.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, that's right. It was amazing, but like I don't think he even realized. I think his instincts just kicked in, and he just made a great defensive play.
He was as surprised as everybody else, and LeBron James walked off the court by himself, too. Now, there was a scene during the course of that game, Taz, where LeBron was sitting. He did play, obviously, in the game, and he did score over 30 points. He did take 26 shots, but the fourth quarter was downright disastrous yesterday for LeBron as they lose to the Knicks. But there was a scene in the game where LeBron was sitting at the end of the bench, and his teammates were at the opposite end of the bench during the course of a timeout. As we get, and Clyde Frazier, who, if you're a Knick fan, you absolutely adore, right? Because sometimes he tells it like it is, but he's just a very, very entertaining guy. The vocabulary.
A legend, too.
Right. He's no doubt. I mean, a basketball legend, not just in the NBA, but also in New York City.
Right.
Here is Clyde talking about the king. Take a listen.
About LeBron sneakers, Clyde?
Yep, fit for a king. The laces and everything, but this type of behavior is not. When you're the face of the NBA, I think you should be more a part of your team, folks. No matter what is going on in the public, you got to be a part of the team. Maybe in the locker room, you're not, but you have to exude that type of togetherness in public, folks. And right now, we see he doesn't really care.
Well, called it like he saw it, and he saw it right. As LeBron sat there, bro, just away from his whole team, and as you said, and he just—I watched it.
It took him to task.
It was like, wow, like it was so, and yeah, you got to tip your cap to Clyde Frazier because he's spot
call
on.
Like
yeah,
right, absolutely. Call like it is. But okay, so there's a couple of things when he looks into what Clyde had to say. Well, he goes, well, even if you're not part of the team in the locker room, you have to kind of give you a false narrative that you are, and you know, for public eye, right, for public consumption,
absolutely.
Taz, shouldn't you be that all the time, though? I mean, if you're going to, you know, and if you're the face of the Lakers, and he clearly is, right? And if you're trying to re-engage the players that are actually healthy that are playing for the Lakers right now, and they're not all healthy, aren't you supposed to be like that all the time? And I agree with what Clyde had to say in terms of you can't be sitting there on the bench sulking because of how bad this year has gone and exude and show little to no leadership qualities whatsoever. We know LeBron's a leader. We saw it in Cleveland, right? We saw
what he wants to be.
What he wants to be. We saw it in Cleveland. We saw it in Miami. We're not seeing it this much this year in Los Angeles. He's not connected with the younger players. The younger players are ticked off, and they're not connected to the organization because they feel like the organization was ready to trade them all.
Yeah, they were sacrificial
And they were
lambs.
Ready to trade them all.
Right, they were sacrificial lambs.
For Anthony Davis. But, Taz, I guess my whole thing is, yes, what Clyde had to say is correct, and it is a terrible look. But LeBron, shouldn't he be doing whatever he can right now to re-engage the young players that are playing with this team on the court, on the bench, and in that locker room?
The short answer is yes, he should be. But, I think that's in a perfect world for an athlete. And as we know, it's not perfect. So the thing is, who knows? Maybe he tried to re-engage him and Magic Johnson. We heard about private meetings with the players after the Anthony Davis thing didn't go through. And maybe he did, and maybe got to a point where those guys just tuned him out, LeBron out. Maybe. I'm just playing devil's advocate, right?
Bad.
I don't know. And to Clyde Frazier's point, well, at least in the public's eye, you got to be – there's a timeout, and the coaches and the team are huddled up near the bench – at the bench, I should say, and you're four seats away – talking to, I don't know who that was. He was talking to with the big beard behind. There was somebody behind him that he was talking to, and the guy was talking in his ear, like privately. I don't know who the guy was, but and it was like maybe it was a friend of his or something. Who knows? But and he was just kind of hanging out, like just it looked like they were like at like a practice.
Yeah,
you know, this is at Madison Square Garden,
right?
Against the Knicks,
right? Against the Knicks,
an NBA game,
right? And they're two bad basketball teams, but it's a legendary place. And if you the audio continued there from Clyde. It would show you a picture of Luke Walton, right, as the timeout is coming to an end. And Clyde said, well, there's their head coach. And as we all know, he'll be looking for new work after this season comes to an end. I mean, and that's where you're at right now if you're a Los Angeles Laker. And as much as we have talked about the accolades of LeBron and how brilliant he is as a player, Taz, this year has done some damage.
Oh yeah, buddy.
To the perception of LeBron James that I think he's going to have a difficult time overcoming. I really do. I think he's going to have a difficult time having people forget about this season, of how bad it got, and everyone could look at that 18-19 games after the Christmas Day game where he got hurt, Taz, and say that was the turning point for the Lakers. But the lack of leadership that he has shown with the young players out there in Los Angeles, I think says a lot. I think the damage has been done to where it's going to be difficult to overcome. And I don't know. I mean, I get a sense right now, if you had to ask me one way to bet whether or not, I'm going to tell you, I don't think LeBron wins a championship in Los Angeles with the Lakers.
I'm with you on that bet.
Signed there, Taz, I would say probably at some point he would. I don't know if he's going to get that secondary star. By the time that star comes, Taz, I don't know if I don't know where LeBron's game is clearly going to be at that stage. He's played a lot of basketball. Got to remember, he came into the league at 18, so it's not your prototypical guy that comes into basketball coming out of college after playing 3 years of college. He's 21, 22 years of age, Taz, and he's in his early 30s. This is LeBron at 18 in his early 30s. He's got 15 years in the NBA and a lot of deep playoff runs as well, which take a toll on your body.
Man, I'll tell you, I feel like. And some might think this is an overstatement. Some might agree with me. I don't know. I'm interested to see how you feel about it. But when I think of LeBron James or look at him now, I feel like he's yesterday's news. Like, I don't feel he's an exciting character or an entertainer or player or athlete for the NBA. Yeah, I understand how great the guy is. But to me, he's yesterday's news. It almost feels like going out to L.A., it's like he's just riding off into the sunset. That's what it feels like. And just seeing him, the way things have gone this year, to all the points you just made, especially with the Anthony Davis stuff that didn't happen and fell on their face, and they were kind of exposed in this whole thing, and the stuff he's doing sitting on the bench, and now he's away from his team.
Sulking.
He's sitting there talking to Tyson Chandler, who's in street clothes. That's who he was talking to. So I knew the guy looked familiar. So his teammate, who's not playing, but you're right, sulking, and then getting D'd up at the end of the game by a guy that shouldn't be able to D him up like he did and shut him down to lose the game. I understand you're not going to blame LeBron for one play. The guy did score a lot of points. Like you said, he scored 33 points, LeBron, so he had a good game. I feel like Moose. And tell me, if you think I'm it's an overstatement. Tell me. If not,
yeah,
I feel like he's yesterday's news.
Yeah, I think, aura. See, I think yesterday's news is a little strong.
Okay.
Taz, I still think he's the best player in the world. It's hard to say the best player in the world is yesterday's news.
Right. Yeah, well, I hear you. That's what I mean. But I'm just saying.
But I will say this, Taz. I think we've reverted back to the Miami days. And I want to get your thoughts on this, is that LeBron, when he was originally drafted coming out of high school, he went to Cleveland. I think everybody and their mother was enamored with the remarkable talent and became a guy easy to root for. Then when he did the stuff at the YMCA, I believe it was, up in Greenwich, Connecticut, and the decision and the television special, or the Boys and Girls Club, I should say, up in Greenwich, Connecticut, and made the decision to go down to Miami, LeBron became a villain. Right, and a hated guy.
Heel.
Correct. And he had a hard time dealing with that. Remember, first year they lose to the Mavericks, people are rooting against him. And he said, well, I'm gonna live my life, knocking other people and what they do with their remember he had that nasty press conference that made those statements. So then all of a sudden it kind of turned. And then when he went back to Cleveland and won a championship there with the Cavs, but the fact that he went back to Cleveland, I think everyone celebrated. I think now he's kind of reverted back to that Miami day where I think there are people that look for LeBron to fail in Los Angeles because of Magic and the mystique of the Lakers and everybody celebrating Los Angeles for the most part. I think he's kind of reverted back to as to where I don't think he's old news because I think that's strong because we still talk about LeBron. You pop on TV, people talk about LeBron every single day.
It's not a guy
that you've forgotten about. But I do think, Taz, people like to root against LeBron now, and I do think people are going to find it refreshing or are finding it refreshing that it's not LeBron and everybody else.
Right.
The NBA playoffs are not going to be what's LeBron doing next. It's going to be other guys in the NBA they're going to be able to grab the limelight and come to the forefront. I think there are a lot of basketball fans that will find that to be pretty refreshing.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe what I'm saying is a little bit of not a stretch, an overstatement, saying yesterday's news, because you're right, we are talking about it. So maybe what I mean is like it just feels like his...
mystique?
His aura. It's like, it's not must-see TV to me anymore. Like, it's not like... Like, I don't care. It's like I'm almost indifferent when I hear his name. You know, I guess because when you are, when you tell everybody how great you are constantly, and you prove it because how great of a player you are, but you constantly tell people.
I'm the best player in the
world. And you constantly are in front of the media. You don't take a break ever from the media, ever. He has to be in front of a mic or a camera. He has to be. He has to be the alpha all the time.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's when the game's not happening for the most part. To me, it's like, okay, well, then you got to always put up a shut up. You can't just put up 85 to 90% of the time. It's got to be 100% of the time because you're talking so much smack how great you are, how awesome you are, but yet you're showing immaturity. And you're a grown-ass man, and you're showing immaturity, and you got a bunch of young guys on your team who are really young, talented players in Ingram and Kuzma, these guys in Ball. They're good players, and those guys have just checked out. I mean, and they got to be accountable, too, for their own actions as professionals.
I'm not disagreeing with that. Right.
No, I know. We agree on that.
But I expect more from LeBron than
absolutely.
I do the younger players.
You got to be a leader, period.
Well, that's
you
it. Gotta. You but gotta. Taz, as we've kind of joked around, what about if you lead and nobody follows?
Well, why? But you're right. But why aren't they following?
Well, I think they're.
You know what I mean?
Well, because then you get to the communication style, right? You could look at LeBron's style of communication. Maybe it worked with the veterans in Cleveland. Maybe he has a hard time connecting with the younger players. Got to remember, I mean, when he stepped into Cleveland, right? They traded Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love, right? He ended up going, right? They had. Who was the guard they had from Syracuse? His name slipped in my mind. He was there for basically half a year, and then they dumped him. He's with the Heat now. He was with Oklahoma City. Biseglia, help me out here. Was drafted second or third overall by the Cavaliers.
Mike Powers.
Deion Waiters.
Jim Powers. Oh, okay.
Deion Waiters. So they had Deion Waiters there initially, right? He didn't last all that long because of his defensive deficiencies. And he's had a decent enough career, but he's with Oklahoma City, and now he's had a decent run when he's gotten some burn with the Miami Heat. So you look at it, give me the young player that when he went to Miami, it was Wade and Bosh. When he came back to Cleveland, it was Kyrie Irving, who just got rewarded with a big contract, and was Kevin Love. And then they plugged in some better. So he steps now into a situation where he's very unfamiliar with, right? There's not a lot of great veteran players. Rondo is kind of at the end of his run. McGee is at the end of his run. There's not great veteran presence around him. You know, it's Ball, it's Ingram, it's Kuzma. It's all younger guys working off their initial rookie contracts, and he has a hard time connecting with those guys. And it's a terrible look. I mean, he's sitting there, as you mentioned, chat with Tyson Chandler, who's wearing a nice overcoat for himself.
Yeah,
good for him.
He's wearing
it was chilly in New York City yesterday, right? So he's sitting there, former Knick, former Chicago Bull, as the rest of the team is in the middle or the end of the bench, at the front of the bench, and you've got Luke Walton in the undesirable spot trying to coach this team up.
Yeah, Luke Walton, another sacrificial lamb. And more of collateral damage of LeBron James at the end of the year. He will be collateral damage. And that's what happens with LeBron, man. It's just like collateral damage of these guys that are around him. It's sad. I mean, it's sad because the guy is amazing. The guy is great. And he is awesome. He really is. He's all those things in a bag of chips. But geez, man, that last night in the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden, I don't care how bad the Knicks suck. I don't care how bad the Lakers suck. That don't matter. It's still a professional game. You have your team. Your teammates are there. I understand you score a lot of points. And that's what it looks like to me. He played a good game. He gets himself 33. And yet, he don't care what they're talking about during the timeout. He don't give a rat's ass what Walton has to say. He don't care what his teammates are doing. He don't care. He's sitting on the end of the bench just doing his thing. And that shows he is airing their dirty laundry. So if he's got an issue with those guys and that team, no matter if he's a leader or not, you can't do that. You got to be amongst the team. It's just and good for Frazier, Clyde Frazier calling him out on it. Good for him.
Well, no doubt. And the Magic LeBron relationship has overwhelmed the Lakers.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
Because he is not seen as a teammate. He's seen as Magic's guy. And that Lakers franchise is seen as LeBron's franchise, not the Los Angeles Lakers. And that's a problem. That's a problem here moving forward because it's not about the team. It's that guy stepping into that locker room, Taz, and being like looking around the room and being like, all right, we're part of a team. It's us as a group, as a unit here moving forward. No, no. LeBron's team is Magic. And the rest of the guys are on the Lakers. And that's a problem.
Your observation is perfect. And here's what we call that in the wrestling business. We call that buddying up to the office. So what that means is Magic Johnson's the office. He's a front office big boss. And in wrestling, it's called the office. And now if you're a wrestler and you're buddying up to the office, sometimes that can hurt your aura in the locker room.
Well, and it's hurt his aura. It has hurt his aura. Because, you know, whatever you want to say, Taz, you go back originally here. He goes down to Miami, right? It was Wade was the leader of that team. Initially, right? And then he stepped back for LeBron to kind of become LeBron. But it was Bosh, Wade, and LeBron James, and they were all locked in with Pat Riley, who's viewed as a basketball icon and a god down there in South Beach,
course,
as rightfully so.
Yeah.
You know, when he went back to Cleveland, it was almost like he was swallowing the bad cough syrup and dealing with the owner, Gilbert, in order to try and deliver a championship for that city, for that fan base, with that team. So in spite of his relationship with Gilbert, he wanted to go back and finish something that was not unfinished. Now he goes out to Los Angeles, and what we hear about initially was this 3-hour meeting that he had in at his house in Los Angeles as Magic was there at the stroke of midnight when NBA free agency got going.
Wooing him.
And not only did they talk about, you know, basketball, Taz, they talked about business.
Yeah.
Right? He wanted to learn from Magic about how to be a great entrepreneur. In order to be a great businessman outside of basketball. You can learn all those things, and no one's saying that you only have to think about basketball, Taz, but it's almost like it's become everything about anything else other than basketball. And he doesn't want the hard work of developing young players. I'm going to tell you that's a championship caliber team. I will tell you, I don't think LeBron's done a good job this year.
No, he hasn't. And in my opinion, I feel like that meeting he had with Magic Johnson that LeBron had, I really feel like in that meeting, I have no proof, this is my conspiracy theory, that he verbally broke down strategically every one of those players that's on the Lakers to Magic Johnson. And I got a funny feeling LeBron wasn't too positive about a lot of them. That's my opinion, just my gut.
And we'll see exactly where the Lakers go from here. But yesterday, a terrible look for LeBron. I want to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. What's your take on LeBron? So, loan lone superstar on the Lakers bench last
night.
Someone
bring him a pretzel.
Getting called out by Clyde Frazier. Want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. It's Taz and Moose on a Monday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
The Radio.com app is your key to unlocking great CBS Sports Radio programming for your iPad, iPhone, and Android device. Free in the Google Play and iTunes App Store. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
Your number to call, Taz Moose with you on this Monday morning. We'll get to your LeBron calls here momentarily. But first, Bogus in the house. What's up, Andrew? Buddy.
Those Weird Al royalty checks going through the roof.
Yes.
Easy.
This
nope.
Support is sponsored by the NFL. On night one of the draft, one fan will win the greatest prize in NFL history, season tickets for 100 years. Entry ends April 7, 2019. For official rules, visit NFL.com/100/contests. Duke, Virginia, North Carolina, and Gonzaga, the top seeds in the NCAA tournament. Tennessee would have been there had they not lost yesterday's SEC finale with Auburn by 20. The ACC is the second conference with three number ones. The Big East was the first to do that in 2009. St. John's got the final at-large spot and has to play Arizona State in the first four in Dayton on Wednesday night. Belmont also in a play-in game. The Bruins, one of seven at-larges from a mid-major, the most since 2015. Meanwhile, the Big Ten leads the way with eight schools, double last year's total. The very first game of the madness is Fairleigh Dickinson and Prairie View A&M tomorrow in Dayton. Chris Paul, James Harden, and Clint Capela with 20-point games to lead the Rockets past the T-Wolves last night, 117-102. Houston is third in the West, now three games behind Denver. Lou Williams, three at the buzzer, got the Clippers past the Nets in L.A., 119-116. The Nets scored 10 points in 57 seconds to tie the game before Williams' heroics. Orlando 101, Atlanta 91. And in the afternoon, the Sixers down the East leading Bucks, 130-125. Philly head coach Brett Brown says his team trending in the right direction.
Growing that and being excited about that and trying to polish it up before the playoffs begin is our goal. And I feel like they got the environment, they understood the stage, and they responded as they did.
Brown got 40 points and 15 boards from Joel Embiid to negate Giannis's career-high 52. The New Orleans Saints have signed veteran center Nick Easton, reportedly 4 years and $24 million. Center Max Unger is retiring just shy of his 33rd birthday. The Dolphins reportedly signing QB Ryan Fitzpatrick for 2 years and somewhere between $17 and $20 million max. Jake Rudock and Luke Falk were the only QBs on Miami's roster since trading Ryan Tannehill to Tennessee on Friday. Birmingham winning in San Diego 32-29. After the Commanders hammered the Legends 37-6 yesterday in the AAF. The Pittsburgh Penguins, a 2-1 OT loss to the Flyers, but center Evgeny Malkin is week-to-week with an upper body injury suffered Saturday. And Kyle Busch won the NASCAR race in Fontana, California. He joins Richard Petty as the only drivers with 200 victories across NASCAR's three top circuits. Guys.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Doing more brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do projects smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who is doing more for his team. How about Marvin Bagley? The third had a team high 21 points and 9 rebounds in 21 minutes off the bench to help the Kings beat the Bulls 129-102 out in Sacramento.
You know, Moose, we're talking about LeBron James in their loss at Madison Square Garden to the New York Knicks yesterday. How LeBron was getting called out by the color commentator next to the legendary Clyde Frazier for sitting at the end of the bench and not being with his team during the timeout, just sitting there kind of chilling, doing his thing, doing his LeBron thing. Let's go down to Virginia Beach, talk to our man Chris. Chris, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's going on, bud?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Chris?
I just wanted to give my comment. I'm one of the biggest LeBron James fans there is, and I feel like he gets a lot of undue criticism. But this year, all the criticism is definitely true. He's acting like a baby, like a child. He needs to be a leader. I felt going to L.A., he could have done a lot for his legacy by leading a young team maybe to a playoff spot, or if they didn't make the playoffs, just playing hard and making a turnaround from last year. And I feel like, you know, not standing in the huddle, turning his back to his coach is just destroying his legacy. But I'll take your comments off the air. Thank you, guys.
Chris, we appreciate the call, man. Thank you very much. It's tough to argue. I mean, it definitely could chip away at his legacy for sure.
Yeah, destroying.
I don't know about
strong.
Destroy, but chip away for sure. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, I agree. Destroying's a little strong. You know, because it's just as you get older and then your career starts to peter out and starts to end, these are the things that people do remember, the last things. But I agree, not destroy. But yeah,
well,
it's just,
here's the one thing, Taz. Are you all in on basketball? Taz could tell. I mean, you know, you can look at LeBron and say, all right, it's easy to say, well, he's not, right? I mean, how is he all in on basketball? He had the picture, was he with 2 Chainz, announcing that Space Jam 2 is coming out, sooner rather than later. Getting caught up in the LA lifestyle. I mean, then that's fine. I mean, but that's not what the Lakers signed up for either. They didn't sign up for you to play your best basketball someplace else and kind of have play out your days in the warm weather of Southern California. All right. It's a commitment to getting better, but he's in the uncomfortable spot, Taz, of trying to not only live up to the expectations, but also, mold young players and teach young players and lead that team. And I get that they have a head coach in Luke Walton, but that's what he's brought there to try and do. And it's not working. And I don't know if at this stage of his career, Taz, I got to be honest, I don't know if he's capable of doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I don't know if he is capable of being that kind of a guy with young players to bring him around. I mean, I don't know if he can do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I normally would say, hey, listen, you're not getting paid millions and millions of dollars to go there and to be a babysitter for young guys. But in this situation, and a lot of times, and not just basketball and pro sports, you see this and you expect this. You expect a guy to go into a team. Look, I'm not expecting Bryce Harper to go to the Phillies and be the leader. I'm not expecting Manny Machado to go out to the 619 and be the leader. You know, they're younger guys, and they're still in their prime. You know, LeBron's a little different story. He's not an old man, but he's older, and he's definitely in leaning towards the twilight of his career, in my opinion. And I do think that they paid him all this money, and I think Magic, too, brought him in to expect him to be some sort of a leader. I do. Let's go out to Kansas City, Moose. Talk to Reed, listening on 1660 AM. What's going on, Reed? You're on with Taz the Moose.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
What's up, bro?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, I'm listening to you guys, and I'm kind of smiling here because this is who I always thought LeBron was from the beginning. I think it showed when they lost to Dallas, his inability to show up and be dominated on defense by Deshaun Stevenson. The iconic moments in all the finals, Ray Allen hit the shot, Kyrie Irving hit the shot, LeBron blocked the shot and got all the credit. I just never saw it. He's a good player, but this thing that everybody puts on him, last year when J.R. Smith made the bad play, LeBron disengaged himself then on the bench for overtime. That's where the game was lost. It was a loss with the non-time.
You're not wrong about that.
It was lost when he disengaged on the bench and didn't pep his team up and say, we still got this. He quit right there, and so they quit too. So I just always thought he wasn't a leader, and he was a little bit lacking the killer instinct. If you think about all our players, Isaiah on one ankle, 40 in L.A., Jordan with the flu, Magic as a rookie, triple-double against the Sixers. I mean, every iconic player, when they had to, they stepped up and took their team on their back and went with it. So that's just my opinion.
Well said, Reed. Well, hey, good call, dude.
Hey, Reed,
well said. Yeah, appreciate the call too, man. Good job right there, Reed. Thank you.
Listen, you want to say that this is always who he is? I don't know if I don't share that same opinion that our caller Reed does, Taz. He didn't hit the game winner against Golden State. Did have the big block, though. And that block was, at the time, the block on Andre Iguodala was huge. Didn't hit the game-winning three, and that was Ray Allen against the San Antonio Spurs. True, and that was a collapse by San Antonio with Ginobili at the free throw line. But, I still think, LeBron deserves his place in history. But right now, you look at this year and the damage that's been done, it's going to take a lot for him to overcome it as he gets to get another year older.
Yeah.
And, does this I'll ask you this. Do you think he looks back? Do you think he looks at this year when it comes to an end? And after the 82nd game in the regular season is played and the teams move on to the playoffs that have qualified for it and LeBron's done.
This year.
Right?
This year.
Do you think he looks back at this year, Taz, as, you know, you look back at something. Do you think he looks back and says, you know, I need to get better?
No way.
Or do you think LeBron at this stage looks back and he's pointed fingers and saying this year wasn't. You know, if the injury didn't happen, but this year wasn't my fault. We don't have the team in place to win. We got to get a new head coach. This has nothing to do with me.
No.
No way, bro. You know why? It's this guy, and only reason why, and I don't need to know him, just hearing him for the years I've heard him in front of a microphone or wherever, on a social media, whatever, this guy, like a lot of people that end up, and not stereotyping, I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way, but a chunk of people that get massive amount of success like this, that are household names, not just really good athletes, household names. That's how big of a star this guy is. A lot of times, they lack accountability because most of the folks around them are telling them how great they are, never telling them what they need to do better. There ain't no way Luke Walton's coaching LeBron James up. Okay, that's not even in the cards. You know, same thing with Ty Lue with the Cavs when he was there. It was like everybody was joking around, like, well, who's the coach? Is it Ty Lue? Is it LeBron? Right or wrong? I mean, so I'm just saying, like, I know you're just throwing a question out there, but yeah, nah, there's no accountability. He's not, at the end of the year, dude, he's gonna talk to Magic privately and tell them
it's not my fault.
Correct. He's gonna say everything but it's not my fault. He's gonna inadvertently say it's not my fault by ripping all the other cats around him. That's what he's going to do. And he showed you that last night, yesterday in the Garden, by how he sat in that bench and where he sat in that bench away from his team. So if he's away from his team in public, Moose,
yeah.
how away is he in a closed-door meeting with Magic?
He's gone.
Rip City.
Well, he's gone. Yeah, I mean, he's gone. I mean, he's not there with Luke, which is the worst thing you can do for a young head coach, especially when LeBron comes aboard. He's not there connected with the younger players out there in Los Angeles either. I mean, he's gone. But, Taz, if you spin it forward, Where exactly are they going to get the guy? Is Kyrie Irving coming? I mean, and then you could point to is it Anthony Davis? Is it a case of where exactly is the Los Angeles Lakers going to go here in order to get that guy? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I mean Kyrie Irving. You know, let's see if he leaves Boston. A lot of people have him going to New York. I don't think Kevin Durant, after what he had to say about LeBron earlier in the season, has any interest, should he leave Golden State, of ever going to Los Angeles and playing with the Lakers.
I agree with you.
I think if Kawhi Leonard leaves Toronto, a lot of people believe that he's going to go to the Los Angeles Clippers and play in L.A., but doesn't want to be a teammate of LeBron James. Taz, where exactly are the Lakers going to all of a sudden find these next two guys to pair up and team up with the King? I mean, he could wear as glitzed out sneakers as he wants on a night in, night out basis in the purple and gold and love life out in Los Angeles. When it comes down to winning, how are the Lakers going to get there? Are they going to get Zion? What exactly are the Lakers going to do here?
That's the worst thing that could happen to that kid. That's the worst thing, in my opinion, that could happen to Zion Williamson for some way, somehow, some crazy. He ends up on that Laker team. That's the worst thing that happened to that kid. Because I wouldn't want, if I was this a father of a younger top level college player that's going to be a first pick, and I would not want him around LeBron James. I just wouldn't.
And I was saying that kind of. I mean, they're not going to get.
I know that. I know what I'm saying.
They're not going to get him because their record is too good.
They're 31. I almost had a hot take there. It was coming.
Yeah, I mean, they have a 3% chance of getting him. Yeah. Right, but I mean, the odds are if they end up getting with Zion with a 3% chance, I think Knicks fans might jump off the GW bridge.
Knicks going to be Right. We don't suggest that, but Knicks fans are.
I don't suggest that at all. No, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do know. Right. Yeah, but I don't. To answer the thing that what you're saying, man, I don't know. I think if I was a NBA player that was a top player like KD or like a Klay Thompson or like a Kyrie Irving or a Kawhi Leonard, any of these cats, I would not want to play with the Lakers and LeBron James or under Magic Johnson. Not just LeBron. Magic, in my opinion, he don't know what he's doing. So I'm just saying, he's just there to be the magnet of being Magic Johnson. I would not want to be. That's a tandem. They're a tag team. They're buddies.
Yeah.
And I would. You're not breaking that. That's too powerful of a bond that those two guys have as greats, right? So I would not, if any of those guys. Now, Anthony Davis is the guy, I think, that it'll happen because of the agent thing, because they have the same agent, LeBron and him and all that jazz, and because there was a lot of smoke with that. I do think that's going to happen, and I would say good riddance. Go ahead, Anthony Davis. Go there with your big eyebrow and enjoy
yourself.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he's got a better shot of landing in Boston because of the package the Celtics can offer.
Right.
But we shall see. It's fascinating. It's interesting. But as we've got anywhere from 10 to 12 games left based on the team here in the NBA regular season, Taz, LeBron, obviously, his squad going to be outside on the outside looking in. And the drama does continue in Los Angeles. We'll see how it plays out, which
yes.
will be a fascinating offseason, a topic of discussion come July when NBA free agency gets going. A future Hall of Fame quarterback fumbling the football on purpose. And Johnny Football. He's back stateside. We'll get into that next. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, your number to call. Tournament action tips off tomorrow night. And CBS Sports Network is ready to bring you in-depth analysis on the Field of 68 and take a look at who has a chance to win it all. Don't miss NCAA March Madness Bracket Breakdown tonight at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports.
Again, let's go down to South Carolina. Let's talk to Quincy, listening on 101.1. Quincy, you're on with Taz and Moose. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
What's up, buddy? Quince?
Not much. Sitting and listening to y'all talk about how LeBron acted last night in the game. You know, LeBron reminds me of the spoiled brat that you live in the neighborhood with who, if things don't go his way, he takes his ball and goes home.
Can't disagree with that.
and you know, it's not of his own doing. I mean, you know, when he came into the league, day one in the league, he had the nickname the King.
Mm.
What was he the King of?
Right.
I mean, everybody has always pumped him up to be he's the greatest, he's this man, he's that man. And, you know, when it comes to heart, I would rather have Larry Bird 7 days a week than LeBron James on my basketball team.
Yeah, see, I mean, Quincy, I mean, obviously he gets the nickname King because of, you know, his last name James, King James Bible, right? So, now you look at, he has lived up to every single expectation that people had for him when he was 16 years of age. That's difficult to do. I mean, that is next to impossible.
Not really. I mean,
well, it is. I mean, for people to basically describe you and give you the chosen one, that you're going to be the next guy, the next big generational talent of the NBA, and to be all that, that's difficult. I mean, that's hard to live up to, those expectations. It really is. I mean, he's a really good player. I get the idea of I think he rubs some people the wrong way. I don't want to completely carpet bomb everything that he's accomplished in his career. I think that's unfair. I think you're seeing a bad side of LeBron as he's an older basketball player at this stage of his career. I think it's a terrible look for LeBron. I think yesterday was a bad look. I think how this season has collapsed for the Lakers is a bad look. I think how he has comported himself is a bad look. And I think a lot of people are going to look at this, and like you said, Quincy, is going to look at this and say, this is the way he's always been. And I don't think I've ever viewed LeBron James in that way before.
I have, and it's you know, when he was at Cleveland, when he decided to go to Miami, he had this big media thing. He did that on his own.
Which was
a mistake. Oh, I'm taking my challenge to South Beach. Who cares? You know,
the best player in the world.
I mean, like I said, if you look at the all-time greats, which other all-time great acted the way he's acted his entire career?
But he hasn't done it. See, Quincy, he's not done it his entire career. That's not fair. I mean, that's not fair. He's not done it his entire career. He's had flare-ups of this. He's not done it his entire career. He did not do it before the decision. You want to say he sulked on the bench during some of those playoff losses for the Cavaliers? That's fair. I mean, that's fair. But he was also frustrated that the general manager at the time showed a great incapability of putting guys around him.
We appreciate the call, Quincy.
I don't know if I'd look at him like this Taz's entire career. Do you? I personally
I mean, you're breaking down the specifics, and you're right what you're saying. I can understand what the caller's saying, Quincy. I think as a, again, just as an overview, I think if you ask the casual NBA fan, they would say a couple things. If you said to them the name LeBron James, they would say he's great, he's amazing, that type of thing. And they would also kind of maybe talk about, like, he's a big-time egomaniac, and it's about him, and it's not about the team. And I think that rep's been with him quite some time. So
that rep has been there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I think that's why some folks, it gets to point. And you know what, like I said earlier, it's like he doesn't move away from a microphone. Like he has to be in front of the mic.
Well, but isn't that the media wanting to go to him to be a part of it?
Yes, it is, of course, because they know he's a big catch and he's an easy catch. Okay, so that's why, because he loves to tell you about himself. And the media is going to eat that up.
Well,
and you have to.
Well, right, because they're going to give people what they want. And a lot of people want to hear from LeBron James.
Yeah, I'm not blaming the media at all. It's on him.
Well, right. Well,
he's got to sometimes. Look at Kawhi. We joke around about Kawhi, how he don't say nothing. He's very, you know.
Very quiet.
Very quiet. And I think that's a little too little. Like, you know, you should say something. You got to say something as a, you know, as a big-time player on a team, or no matter what sport it is. But I do think LeBron could learn from Kawhi. But it's too late now. I think over the years he could have learned from Kawhi. You know, and let's say LeBron's son is as good as LeBron, which is going to be tough to do. He's putting a lot of pressure on his son, which is his son, like a sophomore in high school now, something like that, or somewhere around there. Right? And he's got the same name as him and all that. And that's LeBron's business, you know, and him and his wife, whatever. But, you know, and I hope the kid's great. I hope he's amazing, you know. But the thing is, like, I don't know. I look at it like, well, as a pro athlete in this sport that your son is playing also, I think you got to, like, when I see him sitting on a bench like that during his work, I think of his son. You know, that's what I think of.
And the message it's sending.
Right.
As a
fellow basketball player.
Yeah, which is a terrible message. Right, that's fair. That's fair. Which is a bad message to be sending.
Not calling the guy a bad dad. I'm just saying.
No, I get it. I get it. But you also got to lead by example.
Right, right.
And if you're looking at the example that LeBron is setting right now, it's not a good one. You know, speaking of examples, a guy that's been an example of how not to behave or how not to handle your business. No.
Oh.
That is Johnny Manziel, who's getting another lease on life as a football player, right? We know he flamed out, was a first-round bust for the Browns. Then he went to the Canadian Football League, where you had June Jones saying that he thinks he's going to be the MVP of the CFL. That flamed out, right? It was let go, and basically no other Canadian Football League team after he was let go could sign him. And now Johnny Manziel is back in football in the Alliance for American Football.
Yeah, and he's going to be playing for Pete the Body's Memphis Express.
Yes.
At the Express, is that what they're called? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Pete the Body's team, the AAF team, AAF.
And that was the team that had Hackenberg, and then they had Zach Mettenberg.
Zach Mettenberg, right. Anything with a Berg, anybody with a Berg, that's where this could be good.
AAF.
That's where this could
Manziel
be good.
Manziel will flame out in the AAF.
There's no. Well, here's the problem. The head coach, Mike Singletary. Mike Singletary, Johnny Manziel. You don't have to know a lot about football. That's called oil and water, folks.
Yes.
I promise. That's not going to go well.
No, it's not.
The
stuff with Manziel is, and the Alliance, it makes sense. It grabs some headlines. People are going to be talking about it. And that organization's looking for a quarterback, but we've been down this road so many times.
I know we have. I know we have. You got to give a guy fourth, fifth chance, sixth chance.
Yeah, right.
Right? That's what life's about, right?
Right.
Tenth chance.
We all root for guys with eight chances. Right?
I'll tell you, Singletary is not going to put up
with any
BS from him.
I don't disagree with that, but I also don't think he has little to no commitment to the game, Taz, either.
I guess not.
Yeah, he really does.
You're probably right about that. But we wish him the best.
So. Tom Pecora, Quinnipiac associate head coach, is going to join Taz and myself next. We're going to do that. It's a Monday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.